Tonight we're talking about Samson. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16 and verse number 21 is the one we're going to focus our thoughts on tonight. Judges chapter 16 and verse number 21. Samson was a judge of God that was not very godly of a type of a fella. And, you know, there's a lot of things in the book of Judges that make me scratch my head. And you wonder, you know, why did God put up with some of the stuff that he put up with in the book of Judges? There's a lot of, you know, ungodly stuff that was going on in the book of Judges, but the people were so far from God that God was gracious to them because God is a long-suffering and gracious God. In Judges chapter 16, Samson had a big problem. He was spending time with a woman that was not a godly woman, and he should have wised up. You know, she kept trying to trick him and find out how he got strong. And you would think that after the first or second time that she tied him up and tried to fasten his hair to the weaver's beam, you'd think he'd be smart enough to say, this woman's after me. She's trying to get me. And if I tell her the truth, I'm a dead man. You'd think he'd figure that out, but he didn't. All right. And in Judges chapter 16 and verse number 21, we read, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Samson told Delilah the truth. He told her that God made him a Nazarite, that he was never to cut his hair because he was a Nazarite. And because of being a Nazarite, God had given him strength. And he told her the whole truth. And so she came, brought in the barber, buzzed his hair all off, and he says, the Philistines are on you, Samson. And he jumped up to attack them, and they just grabbed him, tied him up. They gouged out his eyes. Can you imagine the pain of that, to have your eyes gouged out? I don't know whether they poked him out, whether they cooked him out with a hot iron. Who knows? They were cruel to him. They hated him. They would have killed him, but they didn't want to. They wanted to torture him instead. And so they took Samson and took his eyes out and made him a slave. For the rest of his life, he was a slave, pushing around a grindstone in the mill like a cow. They treated him terribly bad. And it was all because of sin. It's all because of sin. Years ago, in fact, about 35 years ago, when I was in Bible college, I heard a preacher who's still alive today, but he's quite old. His name was Dr. Ron Comfort. And he preached a message from this verse. And I don't remember much of the message, but I remember the outline because it stuck in my mind. He said, sin is blinding. Sin is binding. And sin is grinding. And we're going to look at that tonight. I've developed a message on those same three thoughts of sin is blinding, sin is binding, and sin is grinding. All right? And let's think about that tonight as we do. You know, sin is a terrible thing. Sin is a lot like lollies or candy. You know, it comes in all different sizes, shapes, and flavors, but it's all bad for you. And the same thing is true with sin. You know, there's lots of kinds of sin, there's lots of shapes to sin, there's lots of things about sin, but all sin is bad for us. And it all is going to hurt us. You know, the goal of my message tonight is for you young people and older ones as well to understand that sin is not a joke. Sin is very, very dangerous. Sin is worse than a deadly snake. Sin is worse than a wild lion. Sin is a terrible, terrible thing. Sin is dangerous, and Satan wants to use sin to destroy your life. Just like he did Samson. And so tonight, as we think about this, I want you to keep that in mind. Now, sin. What is sin? You know, we talk about sin, and sometimes we talk about something that we don't really know what it's talking about. But sin is anything that disobeys or displeases God. It includes lying. It includes lust, anger, hatred, selfishness, not tithing, cheating, stealing, immorality, being mean, neglecting our Bible and prayer, swearing, dressing like the world, not putting God first, disobeying our parents, and coveting, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on of things that are sin. And God wants us to be careful not to think that somehow sin isn't that bad. You know, the devil wants us to think sin's just a little thing, no big deal, don't worry about it. Sin is a big thing. Sin is a big thing, and it is very dangerous, and it will hurt you. It will destroy your life if you don't beware. So, we need to keep that in mind. The sin is blinding, sin is binding, and sin is grinding. And let's take a look at that here this evening and see how we need to be careful because we don't want to be overcome by the dangers of sin. Number one, let's look at the fact that sin is blinding. Sin is blinding. Samson here, he sinned, he disobeyed God, he was spending time with this woman that he shouldn't have been around. He tells her the whole truth of why he is so strong or how he is so strong. And God took away his power from Samson. And Samson was blinded. Those cruel Philistines took and gouged out his eyes. And the rest of Samson's days, he walked around in blackness. He never saw a thing again. It was black everywhere he went. You know, I think that if there was anything that could happen to us, losing your eyesight would be one of the worst. To just go around the rest of your days not being able to see a thing. Everything is black. No matter how much light they turn on, it's all black. You can't see anything. You're touching, you're tripping over things. You're tripping and falling. You can't, there's so many things you can't do if you're blind. You don't even know what you're eating. You just got to eat whatever they say is on your plate. And you just can't, you aim for your mouth. And you can't see anything. You can't see to get in bed. You can't see to get dressed. You can't see what kind of clothes you got on. You don't know whether you got red and blue on or whether you got pink and purple on. You don't have a clue. You can't see anything. It's black. The world is black. Everywhere you go, everything is black. And Samson never saw anything again as long as he lived because of his sin. His sin took away his physical eyesight. But you know, this is just a reminder to us that throughout his life, he was sorry that he had sinned against God and that he had lost his eyesight. We read in Judges chapter 16, look at verse number 28, down a few verses. Verse 28 says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." He said, "I want to die with the Philistines. I want to avenge against them. I want you to destroy some of the Philistines because they took out my two eyes." It was a bitter problem for him the rest of his days to be totally blind because of his sin. And just like Samson, who was robbed of his precious eyesight. You know, something so precious is our eyesight. To be robbed of your precious eyesight, just like that, sin will rob us of the most precious things in life. Sin will rob us of our fellowship with God. You know, how much sin do you have in your life before you're out of fellowship with God? Not very much. Just a little. Just one little lie that you didn't get right. One little thing you did, one little crossword you said, or one little mean thing, or one burst of anger, and you're out of fellowship with God. Sin will rob us of our fellowship with God. It'll rob us of purity, if we're not careful. Sin will rob us of purity. Sin will rob us of peace. Sin will rob us of integrity, our honesty and our character. Sin will rob us of our good reputation. Sin will rob us of our ability to do the will of God. Did you realize every one of us, God has a plan for your life? And God has a special plan for your life. But if you get involved in sin, many times what happens is sin will so mess up God's plan that you can't any longer do what God had planned for you. You'll have to take a second route. And God can work it around and work it through that and still use you in some ways, but you'll miss out on God's best for your life. You don't want that. But sin will destroy us. Do you think that it was God's best for Samson to lose his eyesight and spend the rest of his days as a slave grinding grain in the mill? I don't think so. He lost God's best for his life because of sin. And you know, sin will do the same thing to us. It'll rob us of God's best for our life. Sin also blinds us to the consequences of sin. It blinds us to the consequences. Satan is very active when we sin. And he tells us, you know, just a little sin won't hurt. Just a little won't hurt. It's only once. You know, everybody's doing it. It's no big deal. And it blinds us. It makes it feel like, well, it's not that bad. And we somehow think that it's not going to be that bad. And that we're wrong. Sin is very dangerous. Sin is blinding. Sin is blinding. It blinds us to the consequences of sin. You know, I think of Moses. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we read about Moses and how that Moses saw the danger of sin in his life. Moses lived the first 40 years of his life in the palace in Egypt. He was the prince of Egypt. He was lived in royalty. He wore the finest clothes. He had the best shoes. He had the best education. He had the best food that money could buy. He had everything that you could want in life. And yet Moses realized that that was headed the wrong direction. It was headed away from God. And he chose to leave that behind and follow God's people. And we read about that in Hebrews 11, verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, sin is pleasurable for a season. It's fun to sin, but it only lasts a little while. Sin is fun for a little tiny while, and then comes the pain. Then comes the heartache. Then comes the sadness. Then comes the blindness. Sin is only fun for a short time. And Moses saw that. And he decided, I am not going to continue on this road that will lead me to the throne of Egypt. Many people believe that Moses could have been the one that they were preparing to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. Think of that. The king of Egypt. And Egypt was one of the nations of the world at that time. He could have been famous. He could have been wealthy and rich for the rest of his life. But he turned his back on that. He said, I would rather suffer affliction, pain, suffering with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want something that's going to last. And living for God will last. Living for sin won't. And we need to be very careful. Sin blinds to the pain that lies ahead for those who disobey God. You know, while we're sinning, we cannot see the regret and the grief and the heartache and the shattered lives and the sorrow that lies ahead. We don't see that. All we see is, I'm having a good time. This is fun. And we don't see ahead. Sin blinds us to the reality of what's coming ahead. James describes sin as a lure and a bait. He says, sin is like that lure you put on, the bait that you put on your fishing line. And you hang it in the water, and the fish see it and think, oh, there's food there. And they go up close, and they look at it, and all of a sudden one of them grabs it, not knowing that inside of that bait is a hook. Now they're stuck, and they can't get loose. And they pull, and they tug. But it's too late. They took the bait. And he says that sin is the same way. It dangles out in front of us and think, oh, it looks so good. It'll be fun. It'll be okay. Everybody else is eating this kind of stuff. It'll be good. I'll take it. And we're stuck. And you lose your freedom. And you're blinded. And you're harmed and hurt and the pain. James 1, 14 and 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. That's the lure. And he's enticed. That's the bait. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In Samson's situation, sin led to blindness. For the rest of his days, he walked in life totally blind, not able to see a single thing, tripping and falling and stumbling the rest of his life because he chose to disobey God and sin. Sin is blinding. Sin is blinding. Once a person loses their physical eyesight, they never get it back again. And spiritually, God can forgive us of sin. And that's a wonderful truth. But even when God forgives, many times sin leaves scars in our life and consequences that remain until our death. And young people, the more you can avoid sin, the fewer scars and regrets you're going to have the rest of your life. Don't listen to the devil. Don't rebel against God. Don't rebel against your parents. It isn't worth it. When you're tempted to sin, remember that sin is blinding. But not only is sin blinding, sin is binding. Binding. To tie you up. To hold you. When Samson was there and Delilah says, the Philistines are upon you. He jumped up ready to attack them, and they grabbed him and tied him up. And all the other times he was able to just push them off like they weren't even there. This time he couldn't. He He had lost his strength. God was gone from him. He didn't have the power of God on his life anymore. He had lost that. And now he tries to break loose. He couldn't. And they tied him up. And they took him down and put him in chains and in fetters. Fetters are when they put brass chains around his ankles and around his arms. And they tied him up with chains. And the rest of his days, he dragged around chains, pulling chains around and chains on his hands because of his sin. Sin is binding. It ties us up and it holds us down. Sin is binding. You know, sin is binds us like an addiction. One sin often leads to the second and to the third. You tell one lie. Before you know it, you've told two lies. Then you have to tell another lie to cover up the first two. And it continues to build. Sin builds. Sin is addictive. Sin is a terrible thing. It's an addiction. It's binding. You know, every cigarette addict all started with one puff. Every drunk started becoming a drunk with one taste of alcohol. Every drug addict began with a small sample of a little bit of drug just to see what it was like, to see if I can get a buzz. And he became an addict. Every pornography addiction began with looking at one dirty picture. Every rebellious teenager began with one bad attitude. See, it all builds. And sin is binding. It ties us up. It holds us down. And it doesn't let us go. Sin is cruel. Sin is mean. Sin is terrible. The devil is a liar. He wants to bind us up. He wants to tie us up. He wants to attack us. One sin makes it easier to sin again. The devil lies to us and said, oh, you've already done it once. It won't hurt to do it again. He's a liar. He's a liar. God tells us the truth when he says there in 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says, flee it. Run from it. Don't go near it. And you know, every one of us, the thing we need to do, we need to remember that sin is binding. And we need to run. When we're tempted to sin, when we're tempted to lie, we're tempted to disobey mom and dad, you need to run and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. That's wrong. I won't do it. Because sin is binding. Not only is sin blinding, but sin is binding. It'll grab you and hold you, and it won't be fair. It won't let you go. You'll become addicted to sin. Sin grips us like the fetters of brass that were holding Samson. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. We're a servant, there's a slave. Whosoever commits sin is a slave to sin. If we sin, we become a slave to sin. We're tied up with chains of sin, and they hold us down, and they keep us from doing right, and they keep us from pleasing God, and they keep us from honoring the Lord, and they keep us from doing what is right, because we're chained up to sin. You get involved in things that are not right, and it becomes a habit. It becomes an addiction. And it may be something that seems so simple, but it became a habit. And now it's hard to break. And you can't get rid of it because it just won't let you go. Those wrong thoughts, or those unkind words, or the uncontrolled anger, that's like a stranglehold around you. And you can't get rid of it no matter how hard you try, you can't, because sin is binding. Sin is binding. Sin will tie you up and hold you down. It'll keep you from serving God. Men, it'll prevent you from being the loving husband and father that God wants you to be. Sin, ladies, will stop you from being the submissive wife and disciplinarian as a mother that God wants you to be. Sin often takes people from the will of God and binds them so that they will miss God's best for their lives. Many, many young people have missed God's best for their lives because during their teenage years, they wanted to do their wild things, and it wrecked their lives. God has a special person chosen for each one of you young people, and occasionally God doesn't have a person get married, but most of the time He does. And God's got a special person chosen for you. You can do one of two things. You can either wait and pray and beg God to show you the right person at the right time, or you can do it your way and get ahead of God and run off and find a boyfriend or girlfriend and wreck your life, destroy your life, and miss God's best for your life. Don't do that. Don't do that. Wait on God. Every one of you young people that are 12 and older, you ought to be praying, God, when it's your time, you show me who you have for me. Now, not when you're 12, but you got time. Pray for 8 or 10 years. And pray that God would show you the person and lead you to the right way and keep you pure and clean and godly and keep you focused on the Lord and keep you praying, God, save that person for me that you've chosen for me and help me to save myself for that person. Pray that. Every day you ought to be praying. God, protect me and save me. Keep me. Because the devil wants to destroy you. And the devil wants you to do something that would disqualify you from serving God in certain ways. There's certain things where God says you got to be this or that in order to do this. And if we mess up and we destroy our lives and we do things we shouldn't do, the scars will be there and it wrecks us so we can't do what God wanted us to do. We need to be very careful. Protect yourself. Sin, first of all, we learned that sin is blinding. Sin is blinding. It'll blind you to the things around you that you should be doing and shouldn't be doing. It will blind you. It'll hurt you for the rest of your life. Sin is binding. It'll tie you up and chain you down so you can't do what God wants you to do. Sin is a terrible enemy. Oh, how we need to be careful about sin. Remember, when you're tempted to sin, that sin is binding. But then thirdly, sin is grinding. Samson was captured by the Philistines. They gouged out his eyes. They tied him up with chains. And they took him down to the prison house. The rest of his days, there was Samson, chained up in the prison house, pushing around a grindstone like a cow. The rest of his days. Oh, it may have been, some people think that he may have been turning a hand grindstone. That would be just as humiliating. Turning the hand grindstones. They had these stones. They'd pile them on top of each other, flat stones. Then they put the grain in the middle of it and they'd turn it around and around and around and around. That was the job of the lowest slave. It was a woman's job. And the women in their day were many times down on the level of the slaves. That was their job. And here's big old strong Samson, this invincible man that could beat anybody. He had the power and might of 100 or 1,000 soldiers. He was powerful. Now Samson's down there blind, can't see a thing, turning a grindstone. And if he says, I don't want to turn it, whip him with a whip. Get on turning that thing, Samson. Or maybe he was on the big grindstone where there was a huge one and they'd have the animals with a long pole and they'd tie a cow to the end of the pole and they'd make that cow or donkey go around and around and around and around that circle day after day after day, all day long, turning that big, huge grindstone in the middle. Maybe that was Samson out there. Come on, Samson. Get moving, Samson. Move it. Push that thing. Come on, Samson. I'm tired. That's all right. Keep going. Thirsty. Too bad. You're just a slave. Keep going, Samson. They beat him. You can just imagine the terribleness of being a slave. And the grinding in the mill. It was a terrible, miserable life. Miserable, miserable life. And you can be sure that those Philistines had no pity on Samson. He had killed thousands of them. And they were torturing him in any way they could. Sin is grinding. Sin is grinding. Samson, right at the end of his life, was led by a little lad. The Philistines were having a big party. They were in their temple. They had a big feast in a temple, in their temple. Gigantic building, two stories high. And thousands of people were on the second story of this stone building. And it was held up by huge pillars of stone. The second story of stones, all these layers of flat cutout stones were up here, and they were all held up by these huge pillars down below. And Samson, in the middle of all this, the people said, bring out Samson so we can have fun. They're all having a party and having a fun time, and so they bring out Samson. Here's a little boy leading big old strong muscle man Samson in his chains, blinded eyes, tripping and stumbling as he comes. And they go, ah, look at Samson, the big muscle man. Look at him now, being led around by a little boy. Big, strong Samson. Come on, Samson, do something strong for us. And they laugh and mock and make fun of Samson. Samson was being humiliated. We read in Judges chapter 16, verse 25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars." Here's Samson, big old muscle man Samson, now nothing but a weak, sickly, blind prisoner. Standing between the pillars, grinding. It was hard. It hurt. It grieved him. Sin is always a disgrace. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Sin is a reproach. That means it's a terrible thing. It's a bad thing. Sin, this grinding is a miserable hard work. Samson was not happy. It was very difficult work. Blind, couldn't see, tripping and stumbling. You can be sure that there were many times that those people, just to make fun, just to have a good time, Samson pushing around the old millstone, and they'd probably put something in his way. He'd trip and fall. And, look at Samson, who can't even see where he's going, tripping and fall. "Come on, Samson, move it." They beat him some more. It was cruel. It was a terrible thing. Grinding was terrible. Samson had a terrible, terrible time. No doubt they whipped him and made him go hungry and thirsty. It was a terrible thing. We see a very similar picture with the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son. The prodigal son thought, "I'm sick of living on the farm with Dad. I want to go have some fun." And he says, "Dad, give me my inheritance." And his dad, with a broken heart, said, "Son, I'll give it to you, but it's not what I want to do. It's not going to be good for you." "Oh, come on, Dad, I just want to have some fun." And he gave him his inheritance, and he went off to the city, and he wasted it. Wasted it on riotous living, wild living, having fun, as the world would say. And then all of a sudden it came to an end. His money ran out. There was a famine in the land, and he was starving hungry. He couldn't find a job. He's a Jewish boy. The only job he could find was feeding pigs. There's nothing worse for a Jewish boy to do than to feed pigs, because pigs were an abomination to the Jews. They weren't supposed to touch them. They weren't supposed to be around them. They certainly weren't supposed to eat them. And here he is feeding the pigs. And he looks out at all the food that he's feeding the pigs, and he said, "The servants in my dad's house eat better than this. I feel like eating that pig food. I'm so hungry. I got nothing." We read in Luke chapter 15 and verse 14, it says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine," or pigs. "And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him." He was starving hungry. "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" He says, "The servants in my dad's house have lots of food to eat. Dad gives them lots to eat, and I'm starving. What a fool I've been. I wasted it." And he said, I will go back to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Make me one of the hired servants." See, there's regret. The grinding regret. The reminder again and again and again of how he had done wrong. And oh, that boy must have thought many times as he's sitting there feeding the pigs, "Oh, I wish I wouldn't have left home. I wish I would have stayed with Dad. I had everything there. I got nothing now. I'm starving hungry. I've wasted my life. I wrecked my life. I wrecked my whole health. Everything has gone wrong. What a fool I've been." And Samson, as he was grinding, no doubt over and over again, he'd think, "Oh, if I only would have done right. Oh, if I only would have done right. If I hadn't have listened to the devil. If I hadn't have sinned. If I would have obeyed God, I wouldn't be in this situation. I wouldn't be blind. And I wouldn't be bound up. And I wouldn't be grinding in this smelly mill. I would be free. I would have God's power in my life. I would be able to have God's blessing in my life if I hadn't sinned." But oh, he sinned. And it was grinding. Sin forces us, the sinner, to grind in the prison house of guilt and shame. It makes him grind the rest of his life with regret. I wish I wouldn't have done it. Regret. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Whatever we plant, we're going to reap. It's going to grow in our lives. And young people, you plant the wrong thing in your life, and it's going to grow. You plant weeds, weeds are going to come up. Sin is blinding. Sin is binding. And sin is grinding. It's a miserable life. Sin is not nice. Samson could have avoided all three of these consequences if he had obeyed God and not sinned. Now, young people, listen to what I'm going to say next. The best way to avoid the terrible heartaches of sin is to do right. Do right. Do right. The way to avoid all the problems of sin is to do right. The way to avoid all the blindness of sin is to do right. The way to avoid the binding of sin is to do right. To avoid the grinding of sin and the pain and guilt and the regret of sin is to do right. Oh, we need to do right. Do right. When your mom and dad ask you to do something, do right. When Satan tempts you to steal or think wrong or look at something dirty, do right. The devil's our enemy. He's not our friend. He hates us. He wants to destroy us. Sin is a terrible enemy. Do right. Do right. Do right. Do right. You'll never regret that. Perhaps tonight you have been a slave to some sin. Maybe it's a slave to lust, or a slave to pornography, or a slave to selfishness, or a slave to a hypocritical life, or a slave to anger, or a slave to bitterness, or a slave to greed, or a slave to some substance. Whatever it may be in your life that has made you a slave, and you are blind, and you're bound, and you're grinding, and it hurts, and you know it's bad, but you can't seem to get rid of it. What are we supposed to do? The wonderful thing is that God is forgiving. God is forgiving, and that's a blessing. And we need to be thankful for God's forgiveness. Psalm 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." God said he's ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy. And if you are bound to sin, if you're a slave to sin today, if there's something that is hanging on you and tying you up and blinding you and grinding you and hurting you daily, and you say, "I just can't get rid of it," what we need to do is we need to come to God and we need to get on our knees and we need to say, "God, this is wrong. This is sin. You've got to give me victory. Please, God, give me victory. I'll do anything to get victory. I want victory because, God, I don't want to spend the rest of my life blind and grinding and bound by Satan. I want to be set free." We need to just ask God. And God has said that if we'll come to Him, He will forgive us and cleanse us. Remember that precious promise there in Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." God is merciful. And God wants to help you tonight. Whatever that sin may be that is like making you a slave, God wants to set you free. But you've got to take the challenge. God's offering you to let you out of the prison house of sin by forgiving you, cleansing you. But you can't play games with God. We can't dabble a little bit in the sin and think that it'll be okay. Satan's a liar. Remember Samson? He kept saying, "Well, if I just tell her a little bit of the truth, maybe she'll leave me alone." And he'd tell her a little bit more and tell her a little bit more. And finally, he told her the whole story. And bang! He lost his freedom. He lost his eyes. He lost his freedom to walk and be without the chains around his arms. And the rest of his days, he was grinding and grinding and grinding and being whipped and tortured and tormented in the grinding mill of the Philistines. Why? Because he didn't get rid of his sin. We've got to get the victory. Whatever it may be. in your life that you're struggling with tonight, you need to just come to God and say, God, I need victory. And I'm not going to stop praying and begging you until I get victory over this. I want victory over my sin. I want victory over that habit. I want victory over my bad mouth. I want victory over my bad mind. I want victory over my bad actions. I want victory, God. Give me victory. I want to be set free from sin. God offers you cleansing, but you've got to come to Him. Remember He said, if we confess it and forsake it. Forsake means walk away. Leave it. Stop it. No more doing it. Now you may trip. You get back up and say, God, forgive me. Get me out of this mess again. Help me to do right. But we don't quit. We push on for God and get victory.